Hello, welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, a podcast where we talk exclusively about Peterhead Football Club. We want to start this episode with a thank you to everybody that's been listening so far. We've just been staggered by the response from our podcast. We didn't really know what we're going to get into. We didn't really know if anybody was actually going to be listening. So we're thankful to everybody that's been giving us feedback so far. We're on Spotify now as well as Podbean, if you didn't know. You're still going to get us on Facebook as well, and on Twitter as well. Our Twitter is @toon_blue.
If you've got any suggestions or features that you'd like to hear us discuss, and let us know. Also, if you'd like us to speak to anyone, then please get us in touch.
David McCracken did say he was going to come on. Don't know if that was a genuine offer from David or not, if he was just being polite. But if David, if you're listening, let us know and we'll see if we can get something sorted out. So Martin, how was your weekend without any club football to go to?
It was really disappointing considering the game that Scotland had against Russia on Friday night.
I know, we talked last week about the Scotland games. I suggested that we might get 3 points out of the two games. And you know, for the first 10 minutes against Russia, I think we were the better team. I thought we might have gotten the 3 points, but the first 10 minutes we pressed high, we were at a high tempo, everything was done, seemed to be done quick. We got in their faces, we were far away the better team for the first 10-15 minutes, but then we scored. And then when we scored, we just seemed to sit back. We got five across the midfield and seemed to be happy with the 1-0 to take the 1-0.
Yeah, we've got the first goal through John McGinn, a bit fortuitous. The goalkeeper's made a bit of a howler in goals, letting it fall back to McGinn. Like you said, we've scored, and then after that, we sort of got deeper and deeper. Their first goal for Russia, it's come. Cooper, he's come a wee bit too far out. He's sort of anticipated the ball over the top. He's lost the midfield runner. That, in turn, we've been unlucky in a sense that it's fallen off Robertson and right into the path of the striker. But in a must-win game, once Russia scored, I didn't think we ever looked like we were going to go and take the lead again and get back into it. Russia come out at the start of the second half and blew Scotland away. They had a number of chances. David Marshall's made a few good saves. The second goal for Russia has come. It's a ball slid in behind and it's a cross goal, and our full-backs are too high considering we don't have full control of the ball at the time. And it's really disappointing. In a must-win game, we just didn't look like they were at the races at all.
Yeah, and then couple that with the crowd that was there. The first 10 minutes, as I said, the crowd really got behind us, behind the team, I should say. They were loud. You could feel an atmosphere. We've mentioned a few times that Hampden isn't the best places for an atmosphere, but the initial stages against Russia, the crowd was loud. They got behind the team. And then when we went 1-0 up, started sitting back, the fans then sat back as well, if you like. They got really quiet. And the atmosphere completely changed. It's just if they were expecting Russia to go and score and then go on and win the game.
Yeah, watching on the TV, you could sense at home that Russia, you felt like they were going to score. So you could probably feel that in the stands at Hampden. I think the players had to give the fans something to cheer about. We've taken the lead, but we've just sat back and we've got further and further, and the crowd could sense something was going to happen for Russia, and I think that's why the atmosphere sort of did take a bit of a dive, ironically, after we've taken the lead and got the first goal in the game.
The goals were coming, especially the first one. You could see that coming just before half-time. But if maybe we got into the first half, break, 1-0 up, since things might have been slightly different. But as it were, Russia, as you said, they come out, they dominate the second half. And then, speaking of dominating halves, that brings us on to the Belgian game. Well, where do you start with that one, really? It was more of a training session for Belgium.
Yeah, Belgium were so good on the night. Scotland struggled to get near Belgium at all. I think the most disappointing thing for me was the first 10 minutes. You're always going to struggle against Belgium, but when you give them a chance like Lukaku got 9 minutes into the game, we've got a free kick, we're attacking, we've sent the big guys up. within 9 seconds, and I think 7 touches later, the ball's in the back of the Scotland net. Andy Robertson's trying to defend against Kevin De Bruyne, who was arguably, without a shadow of a doubt, the best player on the park, and he's just squared a simple ball at Lukaku. He's not going to miss from just inside the box. But like I said, it was from our own attacking set piece, and to get caught out so cheaply at the back, that's really disappointing.
And it could have easily been 6 or 7 if Belgium really wanted it to be. And De Bruyne, as you said, a hat-trick of assists and a goal, it just shows you how much of a world-class player he really is.
He's miles ahead of anyone that was on the park on last night. I think Scotland's potentially their best position on the park would be midfield. I think we've got a couple of good midfielders, but I'm not sure you can compare them to De Bruyne. But when you look at the type of player, Kevin De Bruyne is a million miles ahead of any player that Scotland could dream of having in their team.
And you look at the players that did play in both games, because he made a few changes between Friday and Monday. The right-hand side for Scotland on Friday had O'Donnell and Forrest. James Forrest gets a lot of praise, a lot of accolades when he's playing at Celtic, but no disrespect to the teams I'm going to mention, but he's playing against Hamilton, he's playing against St Mirren week in, week out. He's not really been tested, so when he jumps up a level into the international stage and he's playing against the likes of Belgium, playing against the likes of Russia, he seems to disappear, he seems to be non-existent in those kind of fixtures.
Yeah, there are certain players that certainly struggle against Russia, but I think the whole team certainly struggled last night when we came up against a top side in Belgium.
The top side is definitely the phrase to use, but I think our best player, I should say, in both games was our goalkeeper, David Marshall. He seemed to keep the score down, and we've conceded 6, and he's our best player.
Yeah, it certainly does tell you something. He had, I think it was about 3 or 4 really good saves in the second half against Russia. We only lost 2-1, but it was certainly a game without him that could have easily been 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, and because of that, the international break, there was no League One fixtures apart from one game, and that was 4-4 against East Fife. East Fife went to 4-4 and got a win. From 1-1 to win 2-1, and they're now surprise league leaders.
Yeah, I've been quite impressed with them at the start of this season. They had a really good Betfred Cup campaign. They went to Tannadice in Tynecastle and got positive results. They've got goals throughout the team that they've recruited pretty well over the summer period. There's goals from midfield, from the strikers as well, so there's not one position that you think if you could nullify East Fife in that area, then you could do get a result from them. It's across the park. They look a really good side to start the season with.
And they started the league campaign with 2 draws. They've now gone 3 wins on the bounce, winning 4-1, 4-2 and 2-1, so they've got goals in their team.
Yeah, from the manager Darren Young's point of view, he'll be really pleased because he's got goals not just from his strikers, but there's midfielders and defenders chipping in with the odd goal and assist here and there.
Yeah, and he's obviously starting to make a mark in the league as well. It's his third season now. He's had 2 finishes, 6th and 7th, and now he's top. So maybe some of the bigger boys might be just keeping an eye on what's happening with East Fife this season.
I would think so. I wouldn't be surprised if he maybe makes a step up, whether that be with East Fife next season in the Championship or whether he decides to move on after a successful campaign for him personally.
Oh, he's got a win bonus, a win ratio at the moment of 37%, so that's a pretty decent figure to have. So I'm quite sure that some of the Championship teams or even some of the lower end Premier League teams might be looking at him. His brother, of course, is in management or coaching as well, currently at the Aberdeen under-17, so we might see co-managers at Aberdeen at some point down the line. You never know. Yeah.
Who knows what the future holds?
You never know. A bit of news that this week coming out of Balmour regarding young Aaron Norris. He's may possibly be going back out on loan again. He's looking to get some more game time. Is that something you want to see happening, or do you think you should be sticking around and being a bit more patient and waiting for his time in the first team?
I think from his own point of view, he wants to play football, whether that be with the Peterhead team or whether he does go out on loan again. For me personally, I think he's got to play football, so I'd be quite happy for him to go out on loan. It does seem an area of the park where we are blessed with players. We've got quite a few in midfield. For his development, I want to see him go out on loan, get first team football. It's slightly different playing 20 minutes off the bench here or coming in from a game here and there. He's got to play regularly, and if he can get that with a League 2 team or a Highland League team again, then it would be good for him.
After his release from Aberdeen, obviously he signed for Peterhead and then went out on loan. Presumably there was conversations between him and the manager about his future, going to Fort Martin, getting some games, getting his confidence up. He's then come back refreshed and looking forward to this campaign. Again, the conversations have obviously been there pre-season. Maybe the signings of, say, Gary Fraser and Ryan Conroy has changed things slightly. If these guys are coming up and are available to Jim Martinelli, I'm sure he would have taken them regardless. But then these guys are experienced players. These are the kind of players that, like Sir Alan Norris and of course, young Ross Wilkins, Wilcox can learn from as well.
Yeah, the players can learn from the experienced guys. But I think they'll only learn better themselves if they're playing first-team football and they're exposed to that week in, week out. Whether that be on loan or whether they will get that with Peterhead, I think they will need to go out and get first-team football.
Jim obviously likes him. He's got him a contract for the rest of the season. So there's obviously a player there. Whether or not he's going to be there for the rest of the season or he's going to be playing bit part, we don't know.
I think for the age of him, he's 21. Surely for him, he would want to play first-team football, and he's got to look at getting that.
It's the catch 32 for Jim as well. If he puts him out on loan again, and then say we've got a couple of injuries or a couple of suspensions, then you're looking quite light in midfield again.
It's one of the chances he's got to take. I don't think he can hold back a player's development on the possibility of someone getting injured. You've got to utilise your team. Potentially, if we do get injuries, it might call for a system change ever so slightly for a game here and there. They've got to learn, I think, development-wise. Going out on loan is going to be the best solution for either Ross Willis or Aaron Norris.
So, with that in mind, is there a chance that he might get game time against Raith Rovers on Saturday?
For me, personally, I think I would play him. He's obviously been chapping on the manager's door saying he wants to play. McAnally doesn't want to let him go. Is this now the chance, when McAllister being suspended, to throw him in, see what he can do? Aaron Norris will want to show that he can do something. McAnally will be wanting something from him. It might be the perfect timing for it to come together.
And Raith Rovers have started the season slightly more inconsistent than perhaps they might have wanted to do. One thing is guaranteed with their games is goals. In both ends?
Yeah, they haven't had a 0-0 in any of the 15 games that they've played this season, but they do concede quite a lot of goals, which might come in handy for us on Saturday.
If you look at their results, they've beaten Clyde 5-2, which is always a good result. Then they've lost to Stranraer 3-2. They conceded two very late goals there as well. East Fife then beat them 4-2 last weekend. They were 1-0 up within 10 minutes and then were quickly 3-1 down. But then they've gone and beaten Falkirk in the Challenge Cup. So on the basis of that, you just don't know which side's going to turn up, which team's going to turn up, really.
No, the results are a wee bit chalk and cheese. We're hoping that when we go down on Saturday, we're playing a team that's going to concede lots of goals, and hopefully we'll take advantage of that.
Having conceded 9 goals already, they've brought in Stephen Anderson on loan from St Johnston, experienced defender, 33-year-old. He's played plenty of games in the Premier League, so he's going to bring something different to them, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I was quite surprised when I learnt that Stephen Anderson had gone on loan to Raith and leaving St Johnston. I still think he could do a job at St Johnston in the Premier League now. I think it's the sort of player that the current St Johnstone team are crying out for. So the fact that he's gone to Raith, he's willing to drop down a couple of divisions to obviously play regular first team football. Unfortunately for us, it means that it's going to be all the more difficult on Saturday coming up against him.
And one thing you would think was the telling factor for him to drop down two divisions was the manager, John McGlynn, who's an experienced guy. He's now his second spell at Raith Rovers, but he's had experience at Hearts. Obviously didn't work out as well as it would have liked, but he's a bit of an old school kind of guy, an old school sort of manager, old school kind of coach, and knows the players and seems to be a good man manager.
Yeah, he's worked under the likes of Ronnie Dylan and Brendan Rodgers at Celtic, so he's also got an eye for a player and can see potential. And the young guys, he's also brought in Anderson as well, who I think will be a really good signing. He's shored up the defence a wee bit.
A couple of guys I want to mention out of the Raith Rovers squad. First one is Lewis Vaughan, who seems to be going round the block a few times. He's been on the go for a while, but that's because he made his debut at 16. He's still only 23. He's played over 100 games for Raith Rovers and is always going to get you a goal.
Yeah, he's one of the first players that I sign in Football Manager when you're down the lower leagues.
Yeah, I'll always sign him as well, him and Ross Matthews. And again, Ross Matthews is another guy who's played over 100 games and still relatively young. So these are the kind of guys that that Raith will look to try and win on Saturday with. But looking ahead slightly further forward, the next 10 games, including Saturday, takes us up to the end of November. We've got 10 fixtures, 6 of them are away from home, 4 at home. And in that spell, we've got to play Raith Rovers twice, Clyde twice, Montrose twice. It's going to be difficult for the boys, isn't it?
Yeah, really tough. You've just mentioned there, 6 away games. You want to try and win your home games. If we can get the wins there and try and pick up something on the road, then it would be a really good return out of them 10 games. There's no easy games. And first of all, I'd like to get the 3 points down on Raith on Saturday. I think that would be the first major point.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Falkirk again in that spell as well, away from home. You'd probably look at the when the fixtures released at the start of the season, you'd think, well, that's one of the games that we could probably write off. We're not going to get anything out of that. Having seen Falkirk start to the season, you might think, well, if we play to how we should be played, we might nick something. We've then also got Dumbarton away from home and Forfar away from home as well, who we've already played at home this season.
Yeah, the Dumbarton and Forfar games are really difficult games. Also, we're 2-0 up against Dumbarton and we managed to throw it away. I'd be expecting a similar sort of tough game when we go down there in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, so predictions on the Raith Rovers game then. I'm going to stick my neck out and say I think we're going to get a draw, a high scoring draw, 2-2 possibly.
I think we can go down there and win. We've mentioned just a few moments ago that they will concede goals, Raith. Hopefully Stephen Anderson doesn't have a good game and we can capitalise on that. I think we'll nick out a 1-0, but come quarter to five, if it is a draw, I'd probably have taken that.
But the only thing we can't predict, obviously, is going to be the team. He's had the same team for the last two games. Obviously, that's now going to be changed with the suspension of our captain, Rory McAllister. So, who do you think he's going to play up front? Is he going to change his formation? Is it going to be a change of personnel?
Well, first things first, the loss of the captain, McAllister, will be a huge miss for the boys on Saturday. I think he'll keep the same sort of tactics. I think he might, as we've touched upon just a few minutes ago, he might give Aaron Norris a run out unless he decides to give Derek Lyle, who's just coming back from injury, see how fit he is. He might get the nod for the experience up front.
I'd be tempted to give Ben Armour a run and give him a start. The obvious one would be to put Aidan Smith up front. He's been doing that as well. Which then if you're going to do that, then you're going to play somebody on the left. Then you look at possibly Ryan Conroy to play on the left. I just think Ben Armour's pace and youth and exuberance might cause the Raith defence a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, especially with the age of Stephen Anderson. You've actually got a good point there. The youth that might cause Anderson a problem. I don't know when Anderson last played regular football. I don't think he was really in the St Johnstone team. He's now come on loan to Raith.
And then, of course, we've got Scott Hooper and Jamie Stevenson, hopefully back from injury as well, which then gives the manager a bit of a dilemma with his selection.
Yeah, he would rather have too many players available and fit to play rather than not having enough, which, again, slightly just touching on the Aaron Norris situation. He's got a team with quite a few players at his disposal. If he's not going to play Norris regularly, I think, again, just putting him out on loan might be the best for him.
So, I'm going to say a draw. You're thinking we could sneak it?
Yeah, sneak a win, but probably a draw come quarter to five, I'd maybe be quite happy with.
We might be happy with that, yeah. Okay, so that seems to be it from us this week. Just again, if you want to get in touch, let us know any feedback. Let us know what you think. Any suggestions, let us know. You can get us on Facebook and on Twitter. But again, thanks very much for listening. Cheers. Bye.